For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is what? It's the power of God.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be hearing an encouraging message that I recently shared with our congregation at Holt Assembly of God. Today's message is part of a series that is entitled The Cross. The cross Jesus endured was for the atonement of our sins. As we follow Jesus, as believers, we also endure a cross. A cross that says less of me and more of Him. My hope for you today is that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message.
We're going to go on with this series. The first message in the series I preached was the commitment of the cross. And I just want to briefly review some things. You know what? Jesus was committed to His cross. Amen? I mean, 100% He was committed. We're called to what? Carry our own cross. What's that remind us? That we are called to a commitment as well. I believe this, that, and I know this is probably preaching to the choir, but commitment is a necessary component of our faith, isn't it? We want Jesus to save us, but we're not committed? That makes no sense, does it? Commitment is a vital component of our faith. Part two was repentance. Can you imagine a faith without repentance? And yet, in the world today, there is a faith without repentance. And it makes no sense because the cross is a reminder that we must repent of our sins, that we must turn from our sins and turn towards Jesus. Part three was obedience, the obedience of the cross. And Jesus, fully God, fully man, but humbles Himself to death, to the point of death on the cross, and obedience to the will of the Father. And the cross reminds us, again, that obedience is an important component of our faith. And last week was selflessness. But Jesus gave His life selflessly for our salvation. We as Christ followers should give our lives in selflessness to our Lord. Amen? All right, this morning is real simple, salvation. The salvation of the cross. And why preach salvation to a group of saved people? And there's two reasons for that. One is this, that I'm learning more and more that just because you're a Christian, do you really fully understand what salvation means? Well, yeah, it means to be saved. You know, it means to be saved from danger. And you know what? The salvation is much bigger than that. And so then how we understand salvation, how we apply salvation in our lives, how we handle our salvation, how that then translates to how we look at others. If we have a version of salvation that's maybe not quite right, then the way we look at people and how they walk with Jesus will be the same. Well, that person said the sinner's prayer long ago and they're saved and, you know, hey, there's no worries. And that then affects how you reach people and how you minister to people. So salvation of the cross, it's still an important subject for us who are saved. This is what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is what? It's the power of God. I looked at that word foolishness, and I just wanted to kind of look it up. I can't pronounce it exactly the way it's supposed to be pronounced. I have this little tool that allows me to hit the Greek word, and it's someone who knows how to speak, you know, the Conan Greek and speak it for me. And so when I heard it, I thought, man, that sounds like moron. And so, but it is silliness. It's absurdity. And think about that. The message of the cross is silliness. It's absurd. It's a fairy tale to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. And that word power is, it looks like dynamis, but it's really dunamis, and it's miraculous power, miraculous ability. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit who gives miracles and life lives in us. And it just doesn't live in us as just a deposit, but it's there to give us life. Empowers us, encourages us. So there's miraculous power at work within us as believers, but to the world, it's foolishness. I was thinking about foolishness throughout the Bible, and I was thinking about salvation, and I was thinking about how in the Bible, when you get to, you know, symbols and when you get to pictures, you know, there's types and shadows throughout the Old Testament, correct? There's pictures. There's a leading towards the cross. And so when I think of salvation, I mean, if you close your eyes now or just how you think back, think of how many stories deal with salvation, whether it means an immediate salvation, being saved from a situation, or one more of an eternal perspective. Think about how many themes of the Bible center around salvation, being saved, safe. There's a lot, isn't there? One of the ones that stick out the most in my mind is the rainbow. The rainbow is a sign, right? It's a symbol, a reminder that God will never again destroy the earth by flood, correct? But before there was a rainbow, there was a flood. And before there was a flood, there was an ark. And before there was an ark, there was a man named Noah. Noah, we know is this, he's a righteous man. Genesis 6, 7. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air. I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. His loving kindness. Noah was a righteous man, and he found favor. Noah was a righteous man living amongst unrighteous people, and he found God's favor, his grace. When I think about Noah's story, Noah is instructed by God, you need to build a boat. A big boat. Because this boat's going to house you, your family, and it's going to house animals. Noah, on the instructions of the Lord, begins to build a boat. Now, unlike the ark in the Bible has all these specific, right? There, I mean, there are some instructions, but, you know, we don't have all the specifics of the ark. We have some general sizes and everything, but in Noah's stories, there are some gaps. Sometimes we like to fill them in, and there's nothing, you know, really wrong with that. He built the boat, and the animals were saved, and he was saved, right? I know it's a little bit deeper than that, but that's what we come down to. Noah's instructed, he's living amongst a godless people, and he's instructed to build a boat, a really big boat, and whether he built that boat on dry land or in port, who knows, I don't really care. Some people will argue, well, he had to build it near a port, and some people, but well, he built it on dry land. I don't care, he built the ship, okay? And the ship was there to save them, because there was a flood coming. Well, there's debate over whether there was even a flood or whether there was a rain or, you know, is the earth still being watered by mist or is there rain yet? Who cares? The flood's coming. It's going to destroy the earth. Be on the boat to be saved. Build a boat. Save your family. Save the animals that will come upon the ark. Save anyone who's on that ship. Be on that boat. Noah is building that ship. And I've heard people say this. We don't know if Noah was persecuted or if he was ridiculed for building this ship because the Bible doesn't say so specifically. You know, go to this, look. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. Listen, preachers preach righteousness. Preach it for a reason, because listen, not to say this, I'm going to heaven and you're going to hell. That's not the goal of preaching. The goal of preaching is not to condemn. It is to allow the Spirit to bring conviction, but the goal of a preacher is to win souls. He's a preacher. And so he is constructing a boat that's going to be built to be saved, for saving people, for saving lives. Now listen, I'm no rocket scientist, but I can put two and two together here. He's surely 100 years to build that ship. 100 years. Don't you think someone came up to say, what are you building this for? I mean, listen, whether he was building it in port or whether he was building it on land, it's a big boat. A big boat for that time. And, you know, surely someone would say, what are you doing? Well, I'm building a ship. Why are you building it? Well, there's a flood coming. What are you talking about? You know what? Noah was the first prepper. You know, he's the guy with the cellar full of food and the water and the machine guns. All right? He's the first prepper. And so, you know, what are you doing? I'm building a ship. Why? There's a flood. Who said so? God said so. Sounds like foolishness to me. Foolishness. The message of salvation has always been foolishness to those that are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it makes perfect sense. It's the power of God. Here's the way we handle salvation sometimes. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Period. Wrong. Well, that's what the Bible says. You're right. That's what the Bible says. Okay, yesterday, men's breakfast, I made sausage gravy. Very simple. Sausage, gravy. That's all it is. If I leave out one of those ingredients, it ceases to be what it should be. If I don't put the sausage in the gravy, it's not sausage gravy. It's just gravy. My point is this. This is an ingredient of salvation. This is not salvation, period. And this is what people do because they don't know their word. And they have a faith that they've created themselves because it's based on this. I'm a good person. This is really what it comes down to. We don't view salvation. Even, I believe, saved people don't understand this. You were going to hell before you received Jesus. Think about this. Have you ever held your child as a baby and say, man, what a glorious thing, right? What a beautiful thing. But here's the deal. As that child grows and becomes responsible for his or her own sin, that beautiful child has to make a decision for God. But see, that's where the human part comes into play, doesn't it? Well, yeah, but. There's no buts in salvation. Jesus is the only way. The way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Not through your own goodness, not through your own righteousness, not through your own works, not through your own deeds, nothing. Not through your own religion, through Jesus and Jesus alone. I think we as Christians sometimes don't really have a true and honest view of salvation. That, A, we were hell-bound sinners, and that the Spirit of God drew us to repentance. We repented of our sins and we received Christ as Savior. And we are born again. Now we must walk in the power of the Spirit. We must live for Him, a living faith. Not a one-time confess by the Lord with my mouth and believe that God raised Him from that, and I am saved. But unfortunately, the church has this view, and even in Pentecostal churches, and we allow this to be perpetrated. Yeah, that's an ingredient in salvation, but that's not salvation as a whole. You can't just take that one scripture and say, here's how you must be saved, and this is it. If we preach that, and some churches do, and that's all they preach salvation as, oh my goodness, you've opened up a Pandora's box. Because listen, this is how, then some folks believe this, I don't even have to maintain my salvation. All I had to do was confess with my mouth, Jesus was Lord, is Lord, and I believe that God raised him from the dead, and I'll never not believe that. So guess what? I'm saved. What did Jesus preach? Look at this. Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. There is grace. There is mercy if we'll repent. And I believe God is long-suffering. He is patient with us. There is a place where a rebuke then becomes something else. And you have to be so careful. But we don't preach that because all you got to do is believe. And that's our view of salvation. I go back to Revelation. This is where we covered this earlier in the series when I dealt with repentance. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works. Or else what? Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. That's Jesus speaking. That's Revelation, right? Write to the church, write to the messenger, write to the pastor, write to the angel of the church of Ephesus. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. We have a view of salvation that is not healthy. It's one that's mainly based on our feelings, based on our flesh, based on what we want it to be. But listen, salvation is not on our terms. It's on His terms. If you want salvation on your terms, it's not going to end good, is it?
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I pray it was a blessing to you. If you're not attending a house of worship and you are looking for a church home, I want to invite you to worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.